Yo, what up, Grizz Nation, and welcome back to Grizz 901, the number one Memphis Grizzlies postgame show, and it's not even close. Today, we're going to get into a lot of what happened tonight, and unfortunately, the Grizzlies go down 99-92 to the Hawks. Listen, the very beginning of the game, it looks so much better, but then as they kept going on and as the second quarter hit, it looks like the Hawks just kind of turned it up a little bit, and their defense kind of just rose to the occasion in a sense, and Jaren cooled off. And so with all that happening, the Grizzlies continue to fight within the game, but they did come up close. But listen, in the end of the day, this team is doing a secret tank. But we're not going to talk about that right now. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Then we're in the second segment. We're going to get into a little bit of Grizz trivia, as we always do. We're going to dig into the draft as well, because Nate's not here, and I finally have somebody that can talk to me about it. So let's go ahead and start the show. Hey. Yo, yo,
what
yo.
Up?
All right, Ryan, welcome back. Welcome back. Listen, a lot of people might not know, or they do know. They've probably seen your comments many times. Oh, we're on the loop. They might have seen your comments, or they've seen your name within here, within the chat section. Maybe, maybe not. A lot of people might not know you. If you, for some reason, do listen to the audio portion on our Grizz 901 feed, you'll sometimes catch free basketball, which is Ryan and Cody. And so, yeah, sometimes. but Ryan and Cody are always doing Grizzlies-related NBA talk, as well as just kind of looking across the scope of everything. But Ryan, man, it's enjoyable to get the band back together.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was allowed back on the show. so when you reached out, I was like, what? Me?
Yes, yes, always you. No, a lot of people might not know is really Ryan allowed me to kind of start doing a little bit of audio talk on his show on Free Basketball. And so it was me, him, and Cody for the longest, maybe about 2 years, I'd say. And then I branched off, did the Grizzly stuff. And so it's been a lot of fun. And so I guess full circle of now that we're doing this post-game show, coming back and bringing you on. But listen, you're busy and your internet sucks. That's why you're not on here a lot.
Yeah, I'm completely aware that all of my troubles are location related. Yes. So location, and I'm in the worst type. So it's secluded out here, and that's kind of how I like it. So
living in the boonies. All right. So, let's go ahead and get into, the show just in general, as you're all falling in here, I just want to share a little bit of, the Grizzlies going down 99-92, off the top rope, Ryan, just a kind of immediate thoughts on this game.
Congrats to DeJounte Murray. That was incredible.
It was.
We somehow only lose by 7 when he scores, 40 something?
41, 7-6 is incredible.
Yeah. So I thought it was pretty good that they were in the game, even though like a guy scores 40 and you still hold a team to under 100 points. That almost never happens. Or
that means the Hawks suck.
Yeah. I was about to say, maybe that's more of an indicator that the Hawks are trash. Yeah.
Exactly. But listen, the game in general, it was fine. It was fun. And looking through, a lot of what we saw, it ended up coming down to the fact of the Grizzlies did not shoot well. And I know that Pete Pranica was also hitting on, the shooting and the percentages in the paint tonight. Overall, they shot 40%. It wasn't overall a good night, just shooting. And so it is what it is. Like, we went on a 2-game win streak. I didn't expect to win this, but then listen, we had Jaren available tonight. Did you think that the Grizzlies should have won before the game started? Just on paper, do you think they should have won?
On paper, maybe, yeah.
We had a better team, I think.
If Gigi would have played, I think they would have won.
Okay.
Because the Hawks, you saw, Jaren was destroying them at first on drives. Right. And so then they switch to, okay, let's just show a lot of help and bodies to Jaren. And we couldn't hit anything outside, which would have been perfect for Gigi. Right. Yeah. So it's odd to kind of say that about Gigi this early in his NBA tenure, you know, but in the current spot that we're in, I think if Gigi's out there, he could hit four threes tonight.
Yeah.
And we probably win. But yeah. Vince struggled. That was kind of the killer, is that he just had really bad turnovers and really bad spots. But it kind of is what it is. We keep that sixth spot in the lottery. So, you know, competitive, but ultimately hitting the goal, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, listen, we're as disappointed in this loss, just as King Mig says, with everything tonight, even his food order at the Outback Steakhouse. I haven't been to an Outback in so long. Do they still do the Bloomin' Onion?
I'm pretty sure they do. I haven't been there in a long time either.
And shout out, let us know, King Meeks. We need a little bit of Bloomin' Onion in our life. But talking about the Vince Williams turnovers, he had six tonight. And so 14 points, six assists, and five rebounds. He had five assists at half. It looked like he was distributing the ball very well. And then eventually it just got so stagnant. The offense just got just bland. And it was the fact that really the only thing that was going for a while was Lamar Stevens scoring. And then Jake LaRavia, which is weird to me that I would be saying both of those statements. But the fact that both of those guys, it just was weird, man. It was very weird. So,
it's odd because like Jake and Lamar actually seem to play pretty well together.
Yeah.
It makes no sense why they play well together, but they even fought with each other tonight. Did you see them getting at each other at the free throw?
Yeah,
dude. That was kind of funny.
Yeah. I don't.
A battle of 12th and 11th men.
Yeah, bad. As Wayno, you changed your name. So, Wayno, the Atlanta team is straight trash. They would struggle against us at full strength. I don't think they're a very put together team. And even with Trey, I do think that they do have their struggles for sure. I don't want to spend too much on this. Let's go over, you know, just tonight, you know, final thoughts about this game in general. And then I want to get your thoughts overall, because one, you haven't been on the show in a long time, your thoughts on these players. And then in the second segment, after we do Grizz trivia, we're going to talk a lot about the draft. So if you do have questions for Ryan, that you want to get into, draft questions for sure. I know your cup of tea, but go ahead and hit me the final thoughts on this game just overall.
Yeah, I mean, it really was just about Murray to me. And, you know, Jaren was killing him early in the first quarter, and then that kind of died off in the fourth when we kind of need it in the last 4 minutes or so. So, I mean, between Vince having struggles with his passing and finishing and stuff, and if Jaren's not making stuff around the basket and Murray's going off for 40-plus,
yeah,
I mean, the team we are right now, okay, and the thoughts about the rest of the team, okay, great. I enjoy watching some of the players get minutes to see if they can actually contribute to something next year if we're at full strength, which might be something we can talk about. But overall, it's a bunch of patchwork players. Like, they signed Winnie and Gabriel and he played tonight. Great. He had an offensive rebound put back. Okay, right. Cool.
Yeah.
But they're just professional players. And if you just throw professional players out on the court together in a five out setting like the Grizzlies play, you're just going to give yourself a chance. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, just as the first quarter ended, who stole Jaren's powers? Marco wants to know, because that really was in the end. That's what happened. It looked like the Monstars showed up and stole all his powers, because he wasn't the same once that happened. But we're going to go ahead and get into a little bit. And even as LOL Nope Jones says, bruh, didn't even know we signed Wendell Gabriel. That's the part of this season. That's it.
Was it yesterday or was it this morning? I feel like I saw the notification at 11 a.m.
I knew eight hours later.
He was playing for us.
Yeah, I knew about it a couple of days ago, and I don't know when it came out, though, but I knew that it was coming.
They were,
and
going
then all
to,
of a sudden, okay, randomly, you know, the thing got put out, and I was like, oh, yeah. So it was just, you know, we knew he was going, I guess I knew he was going to get signed. It's just a fact of, when it showed up, I didn't expect him to play that quickly, but also it had been worked in the works for multiple days, and so I think that's why he was able to be signed. I believe it happened after their last game. pretty quickly. And so, listen, it's not what I would do, but I think what they want to do is somehow get this to a consistent basis, a consistent team, right? And how they're built. Looking at that, I want to hit on these two things before we get out of here. On this game overall, but
I was about to say, okay, I can go to bed.
Yeah, not that quick. It won't be the hour and a half show that we went the last time. My God, that fell forever. But we have folks. LOL. Nope. Jones says we have folks that can distribute the ball, but no point guard that can manage the game. How important is having a true point guard? I guess for these guys, especially these young guys.
I don't think it's as relevant in a backup setting.
Okay.
I think it is relevant for like a starting five. Okay. So like to me, I might be squashing on a topic in the future, but I think people want to know is who's going to be our backup point guard. Right. Mm-hmm. And you've also talked center and power forward and all that stuff.
Right.
To me, I think a backup quote unquote point guard, if you want to label him that, even though he's not that, could be Vince, right?
Okay.
He's handled the ball a lot this year. You don't necessarily need someone who's going to drive offense in a backup role, and you get him out there on the court. And of course, at the end, Ja's going to be in there, so he's going to be the driver, right? Mm. So you just need those kind of spot 7 to 14-ish minutes, and you don't have to have a Tyus Jones type anymore. That's just not the case with basketball. You've seen multiple people bring it up for the Grizzlies last season and this season. So I don't think it's 100% necessary to have someone who is quote unquote labeled a point guard.
Okay.
So like Vince is fine with me because more than likely, then Bane's probably going to be out. Then Bane comes in. Bane's probably going to do a lot of the ball handling too. Right. So I don't think there's a de facto point guard backup that you need. You're seeing a lot of guys who can do it, like Vince.
Yeah. Well, listen, and I agree and I disagree. So let me get this straight for I go into it. So you're saying that the starting team, like the starters, need one. Like that, I think that's more relevant than the backups need one.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, then that's fine because what I will say is I like Vince, the ball handler, whatever, because it allows us to be better defensively just overall. If we're going to have somebody that's just bringing the ball up, the issue is they have to figure out a way that if the offense doesn't go and get into its set right away, they have to find somebody who can re-engage the offense. That's my biggest thing. And that's usually what a point guard can do, especially for a second unit, is somebody who can actually re-engage the offense, such as like from fresh, like, hey, the first 12 seconds didn't work, but the last 12, we kick out, we rotate back to our point guard, a little pick and roll, dribble drive, and then a dish just to get some movement back before the 24-second shot clock. I think that's what really has been hurting us sometimes, especially with Vince, is because he's not a guy who can dribble, drive, and create. He's going to pass it and then go around, and hopefully you can have somebody else create. Nobody else on that team is creating right now. Like, nobody. Like, I went to the game the other day, and I was just watching, and I was just like, oh, my God. Like, nobody can beat their guy one-on-one. Like, nobody. Yeah. And it's sad. And so, like, how do you get movement and nobody can beat their guy, especially when they're not passing it? So I think that's a big key on the point guard in general, whether it's starter, backup, whatever. I think you got to have some dribble drive. So if we don't have anybody on the team that can dribble drive and kind of create, that's where it comes down to, is really where you hurt needing a point guard of any kind.
Yeah. I mean, it hurts now. Definitely. Yeah. Like, I don't want Vince to be our starting point guard. I mean, he's capable of it, but you're right. There's no breakdown of anybody. That's why it's pass it to Jaren on the wing and let him do it. Because Jaren's really good at that, or has become really good at that.
Yeah.
But I think if you're talking long term, if you're talking the future, like, it's just something that gets Vince on the court that you like. Obviously, he's not better at Tyus in the sense of like offensively.
Right.
But you bring in a 6'6" guy.
Yeah.
He can handle it. He's not going to break anybody down, but he can set up Bane, who going to be coming up on screens, you know, in player picks. So that's all I think you really need in a backup looking forward. Right now, it's just roll the dice and God, please do something. So that's kind of the situation we're in right now. So,
yeah.
But if you're talking about next season, like my priority is not to go out and get a guy to say he's my backup point guard, if that makes sense. Mm.
Yeah. So LOL Nope Jones asked that question. But before we get off of this game in general, I'm going to share one of the first things. I think this was the very first comment in here, and that was from Wayno. The halftime show was a really reflective of our season. Yikes. I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about. I don't have the picture to show you. I apologize. But man, that picture that was supposed to be that painting that's supposed to be a Desmond Bane looked like a combination of Draymond Green, Desmond Bane, and Zach Randolph. It was like a mesh. it was like the forehead of Draymond Green and maybe like the number of Desmond Bane. It was so bad. It was so bad. All right. let's get into the question that LOL Nope Jones wants to ask about the backup point guard. But one thing I will say on, you know, just kind of a backup point guard you're talking about with Vince is let's just think about it. Next year, you're going to have on the court at some point within the second unit, you're going to have one of these guys coming back, and that's either going to be Ja Morant coming back, you know, really to recycle back through the lineup, or you're going to have Marcus Smart or Desmond Bane. Like, you're going to have one of those guys to kind of recycle back. Once they go, whoever goes out first is going to come back with the second unit, kind of lead them. And so I think that's a non-issue, and I like that. But LOL Nope Jones wants to know, who do you think will be the backup point guard next season, if you had to guess?
I mean, if I had to guess, it's going to be someone like Vince, if I had to guess.
Okay.
I just don't think it like that. Yeah, I don't think they're going to go get somebody. Yep. And Scottie Pippen Jr. showed he was okay, but he's not a guy that I'm going to say, here's a backup role, man. Like, here's a guy that wasn't playing for the Lakers, and the Lakers have a lot of problems.
Right.
And he just got an opportunity here with us. So Scottie Pippen Jr. is kind of like a third guard. You know, 10 to 15 range of the rotation. But Vince can do it. It's not a problem. Okay. So, like, Vince can do it. Bane's going to be on the, like, basically when Vince is on the court, he's probably always going to be on the court with a combination of Ja, Bane, Smart, right?
Yeah.
All four of them can handle it. And right. Vince has shown that he can set people up. Tonight was not a good night to showcase that. So,
yeah.
People are probably like, whoa, hold on. He had six turnovers tonight. What are you talking about? But literally in games with Bane getting back, the attention is going to be on Bane. Right. Especially if it's someone like Jaren screening for him, they're going to be worried about Bane and Jaren. So there's not going to be as much pressure on Vince. At least I wouldn't expect. And he's shown that he can just make a simple pass to a guy coming off a screen. And if Ja's in there, Ja's going to have the ball. He's not like,
exactly.
Vince is not coming in to push Ja off the ball.
Yeah.
He's going to be off ball, but you're just always having a combo of Smart and Vince defensively out there, where we didn't have before. So that's why I would say there's not a particular guy that, hey, this guy could be our starting or our backup point guard. I think we already have it in house and we don't need to go get one per se.
Would you, as Chris is asking here, would you steal like a backup point guard kind of the second round possibly? And with that being said, and I know somebody's already made a comment, the roster crunch, if we're labeling Gigi and Vince as hits within, you know, overall within the draft in the rotation, that means they're in the top 10. are you going to get a guy in the second round? You know, and Chris is saying Andrew Nimhardish, like he just a guy that can be somebody who you can count on, but you know, maybe nothing like you're going to maybe move back into the second round to go get this guy, but somebody that you would do, you're going to have him for the next 3 years on cheap. Would you do that? Because you still have Derrick Rose on the roster too.
I don't think it would be a priority depending on what they do with Rose, but I don't think it would be a priority, but it wouldn't hurt, right? Like it's a very cheap Like, it's not going to hurt you at all. He's probably going to be on a two-way. It probably doesn't matter. My only stipulation, he's got to be 6'4 or taller. Like, I don't want to draft a backup point guard who's 6 foot tall. Like, it's just not what I'm looking for.
So you don't want
so if Kenny he's Chandler. A guy that no, I don't want Kennedy Chan. like, I love Gilliard, but come on. Like, he kind of hit the top of his bounce there. You can. It's not my priority for what I would think this team needs. But if there is a guy there like a GG from last year sitting in the second round that was an absolute steal,
right?
Then why not? I mean, it's not going to hurt you at all. And you just never know with those guys in the second round. And we've had a good track record with them.
Yeah. So that's my thing is I'm down with going to get a guy like that. It makes sense because it is cheap. There's not much that you have to do to, you don't have to move mountains to bring in a guy in a second round pick. For one, let's say you draft somebody in the second round. We have now extra second round draft picks as a backup to the point of if for some reason we need to keep this guy because he shows out in training camp or maybe summer league, we just go and move off of, you know, like a Jake or a Zaire, or even maybe a Conchar, whoever. Like, you can move off an extra guy if you need to make him, you know, fill a spot. It's like a free look in a sense. You already have, you're given that draft pick for free from the league. And I think we have that one this year. And so at this point, you maybe do that to take a look at him, especially maybe you take a run on somebody. Worst case, you can always send out, Jordan Goodwin, who's on our two-way as well. You can send him out and then bring him into the two-way and fit him in that spot. So there's a lot to do. And so, yes, Chris, I do believe that you can make a run at somebody like that just to kind of see what there is. That also maybe allow you to maybe retire. Hold on. Retire Derrick Rose. Like, he's going to retire real quick.
Derrick Rose seems to kind of retire himself. He plays one game and he takes 4 weeks off. So, I mean,
he can't get to halftime when he plays. So let's not go on him right now. It's a struggle, and it's going to be sad that if they ever do move off of Derrick Rose, literally because him and Ja never have played together. And that would be kind of a cool moment for Memphians, for fans. And that would be, I don't know. In my opinion, that would be fun. King Meeks, but also somebody else wanted to know why didn't GG play? I know he was on the injury report.
I think it was for like knee soreness or hamstring or something. Some sort of soreness, I believe, in his legs. I can't remember the exact appendage, but I think it was some like general quote-unquote soreness of something.
It was left knee soreness.
Okay, which he probably could have played through, right? But
he would have.
This is one of those games where it's like, hey, we're only a game ahead of the Raptors here. We gotta lose this one. They didn't do that.
Hey, let's go through this real quick, and let's spend maybe 5 minutes max. I'm talking to like blow and go through this real fast. I want to talk about. Come on. I want to ask about these guys. And so thoughts on, and then I'm talking about very quickly.
Sure.
Thoughts on Taylor Jenkins.
He's fine. You want to go quickly. I've never personally loved him. I don't think he's a bad coach. There are things where you're just kind of like, okay, man, like it's year 4 or 5. Maybe we should figure this out by now. I think ultimately the thing is he just kind of has something where he's just slow to pull the trigger on something, if that makes sense. Like he sees something is not working or a player is playing well and it's just kind of like too late sometimes. That's the kind of thing that drives me crazy. But besides that, I think he's a fine coach. Like, he doesn't bother me. I don't think he's the X factor on this team winning a championship or not, or advancing in the playoffs, because coaches rarely are. but he's obviously made, they've hired people. He's brought in people to this coaching staff because he sees he has deficiencies, right? Like he brought in specifically an offensive guy, which we can talk about St. Andrews if we want to, but
no,
he brought in specifically an offensive guy because he admits that he has issues there. He brought in a player development guy because they know they're going to need the most out of the end of their roster with how expensive this roster, this team's going to be in a few years. Yeah. So I think it's good to see that he's admitted that. He hasn't said it publicly, right? But by the hirings, he has kind of said, like, look, these are the things I struggle with. I'm bringing in, quote unquote, experts to help me out with that. So I think that's a good sign.
All right.
Doesn't mean necessarily pan out, but he's fine.
You froze for a second. As a little kid came running around the corner, you started freezing. I'm like, is she wearing any kind of what are the antennas? running around with the antennas, screwing up all the internet in the backwoods. as King Meek says, Taylor Jenkins played in the first Christmas Story. He was the bully Ralph beat up. All right, let's go ahead. Let's go faster through. Don't take so long. God. All right, Santiago Dom.
What was that? 3 minutes? A lot of hate. Maybe.
That was 3 minutes. I have a lot of questions.
Okay.
I want to ask more about the rest of the guys. A little faster. All right. Santiago Dom, a lot of criticism this year. Fair, unfair. Is he, I guess, with the team moving forward, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think so. The thing I do want to bring up that people have not talked about, which I was saving for you, if you remember during the draft cycle, we had talked about Santi after they drafted him. I was like, what? Who? Who is this guy? And if you read stuff about Santi, most of the stuff was looking like he was going to go undrafted.
Correct.
And he had talked about he was excited to get back to Spain to play there.
Right.
I think there is a possibility, which he probably wouldn't because the money with the NBA is too good. What about the possibility of him just saying, I want to go back to Spain? He obviously enjoys playing in Europe better. He played better in the summer with his national team. Like, that's something he had said through the pre-draft process, is that he was excited to get back to Spain to play there. So, is that a possibility? No one's ever turned down money here.
The Black Ninja DJ wants to know.
No one has ever turned down money from the NBA. Like, it's the Premier League in the world.
Exactly.
And no one's going to turn down money. I think he's going to be with the team. But
is he homesick?
I'm just putting that out there for you. Just putting it out there for you. I'm just saying. Or he's trying to get to Toronto.
I like it. Listen, that's a spicy take. I like that one, though. All right, let's go through these other ones. Thoughts on Conchar? He's obviously getting paid next year, $6 million. Do you think he can be a 11th, 12th guy, potentially, still making $6
million? I think it's fine. Like, you've said a lot about him being a luxury item. That is what he is. And with this team, I mean, with how frequently everybody's in and out of the lineup, he is a guy that can come in there and not hurt you.
Exactly. Right?
So he's kind of like, you know, a discount Vince kind of at this point. Does kind of the same things, not going to really handle it or do anything or shoot. But he's not going to hurt you. And so that's helpful from 9 to 15.
Well, it's helpful as a coach. It really is, because you can keep your rotation somewhat the same because he's a plug and play guy. And so, listen, I know, you know, you just talked about it, but being a luxury item, that's really what he is. You know, if you can afford to keep him on your roster, you try to. But if it's like, hey, we really need to make room for Gigi and Vince, and the only way to make us better is to use his contract, his $6 million. To go get somebody that we really need to upgrade the top eight. And so I really do think that I like him. He's fine. He's never going to be a big player for you in the playoffs. He's a regular season guy who helps you get through the dog days of the summer. And that's really just what it is. All right.
Yeah.
Man, y'all are hating on Santi. It is so funny. Santi looks like a poor man Sesame Street character. Santi can go to the CBA or WCW. dude.
Actually, with Santi, before you move on, one of the big things I think Santi's having trouble with is he's trying to play faster. And okay. I think they have made a point of, like, you remember last year, he catches the ball, takes half a second to think about what he's going to do, and then he did it. And then he did it, right? Yeah. And by that time, it's too late. Defense back on him. He has no shot. He has no drive. I think a lot of his problems is he's been trying to play fast. And so that's just an adjustment period for him.
Do you think, I don't know, I could probably pull up the numbers. I haven't looked at them, but I wonder what his usage rate is this season compared to the previous season, because I really think that his usage rate is up so much because, one, he's not scared to take a shot. He's not scared to take a bad shot. Like what I kept seeing and just in that one game, I've only really seen one game this season because they've been so bad. I haven't really gone, but one game in person, and just kind of, I don't know, just kind of brings so much light to you a little bit because you're sitting in person. We had really good seats. Shout out to Mehdi Siddiqui, the Smile Center. If you need a dentist, you need anybody, go shout out to Mehdi Siddiqui. He's amazing. But we had his seats, and it was – they were great, but it was the fact that they kept passing them around and nobody could create, nobody could get their shot. And it ended up coming back to Santi with 3 or 4 seconds of the shot clock. He would do a dribble, maybe a step back. And then because he's so tall, he could actually get a shot up. He wasn't scared to take the bad shot, unlike Luke was when he only took 2 shots that entire game. But like, that's the difference. I think his usage rate is so up right now because he's the only one that's really not scared to shoot. And I think that goes down when you put him with better players. And so I really want to get a good look at Santi back when this team is actually fully healthy. But we'll see.
Yeah.
Lamar Stevens, real quick.
Yeah, I like Lamar. The problem is he can't shoot. Like, he's kind of a mid-range king, right? And I think that's ultimately why I think he started with the Cavs. I think the Cavs drafted him and they went to Celtics. Like, he would get spot minutes with those teams. The problem is like he's so hot and cold from three, but both franchises have both said how professional he is. They love having him in the building. Like, I would like to keep him. You can never have enough guys like that who are competitive, professional, even if they suck from three, because, you know, once out of every 8 games, they're going to go 3 for 5 from three. So that could lift you in one of these kind of doldrum games that we're in right now before playoffs. So if we can hold on to him, I would love to. But he's kind of like Conchar. He's kind of like a luxury item if you want to keep him around.
Exactly. All right, so Choppa City's trying to find out, does anybody know if DeJounte Murray had 8 rebounds? Because I guarantee you bet on him. But I only see 41, 7, and 6, which is 7 rebounds. Yeah, I don't know about that. I didn't bet on. I actually took the under. I think it was under 37.5 from PRA tonight overall. He blew it out of the water. But I didn't bet on DeJounte Murray rebounds. So I apologize, Choppa City. I got nothing on that one. All right. Last few. Jake LaRavia.
I just want to see Jake not injured. But the thing for Jake hasn't been about his shooting. It's been about his driving and creation, right? Now, he's still at the point where he's just getting back, but his driving, like, he just slams the ball off the back of the backboard now. He doesn't really have touch yet. But I think that's why everybody is like, oh, okay, maybe Jake is not useless. Because before, when he was coming back from injury, he was just catching it and he was passing it. He wasn't, you know, on a ball reversal, taking that initiative to drive to the, you know, the nail, right? Yep. And now all of a sudden he's doing that. So I don't know if that's an Anthony Carter. Like, that feels like that, because Jake has not done that since the first couple weeks of his rookie season and all the injuries start piling up. The problem is he's just habitually injured. So he's okay. But he's not someone that I'm pegging in to get minutes in a regular rotation. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Okay.
But I don't know why we get rid of him to fill someone else as a 12th man. Like,
yeah,
Just keep him around. He's cheap. He's not going to hurt anybody.
No, listen, I'm okay with that if they can make a move to go in the offseason and go get something. Last thing. sorry. Ryan, you got that Temu Wi-Fi. What's going on? I'm telling you guys, this is why I don't bring Ryan.
It's not
on.
Wi-Fi. It's
not... yeah, I think you're on a hot spot right now. It's so bad. Anyway. So he's out in the boonies, and so that's why I don't bring Ryan on as much as I want to, is because of his stupid Wi-Fi. It's trash, I'm telling you. When you start talking on a random, it's just like it'll knock out for like 8 seconds, and then I will hear it all come back. And so anyway, we're going to bear with it. It's fine. It's not that bad tonight. I promise, lots better than it has been. All right, so overall, what has this team like kind of – in the future, what do you see them? What moves do you see them making? Because, and this might tie into some draft moves, but what moves do you see them making in the offseason to kind of get better? Are there guys that you would send out or guys that you bring in? Anything you're looking at doing?
I mean, there's not anything specific players that I'm looking for. There's types of players that I would hope for. And it's right. Obviously versatile guys that can create.
Yep.
Either, you know, that's creation by passing or drive and kick, or if someone that can just stand there and shoot a three. I'm just not interested in any more 6 foot guys. And I'm also not interested in 6'11 guys who don't do anything. So give me more wings that can do more creation stuff. That's what I'm looking for, but not anyone that's like specific.
Yeah, the center position. How would you feel it going in? I guess it has to be the offseason, but how would you feel the center position going into next year?
Well, I think I thought this might come up, so I wanted to ask you first for clarification before I go off on this rant. And with the Wi-Fi, I don't know if everybody's going to hear it. So if not, sorry. Maybe I can write a statement and you can post it from the site or something. I don't know. My question about everybody talking about they need a center.
Okay.
You have to get a starting quality center. Are we talking about someone who's playing Steven Adams types minutes, 25 to 30 minutes a game? Are we talking something like someone that plays 17 to 20 minutes per game? What are we talking about? Like, can you clarify when we talk about starting caliber center?
Yeah. I would say starting caliber center would be 25 minutes on average. That means that there will be some games that they're playing great and you get 28, maybe 30. There are games where they aren't playing great. Maybe it's a small lineup and they would get 15. I think it's you have them there to play big if needed, but they're situational. And that's why I wouldn't spend a lot of money. But yes, I would say 22 to 25 minutes feels comfortable because that allows other people like your Vince, Gigi, and all them to get minutes as well.
Is it someone that closes the game for you?
Never. Unless it's Minnesota and we need to go against Gobert or something like that. Only situational. It's the only way I would ever close the game with them.
Okay, because that is my problem with the conversation that everybody's having about starting quality center, which is why I wanted your definition of that person you're hoping for, because reality check for everybody, if the Grizzlies are going to win a championship ever, it's Jaren at the five and it's surrounded by ball handling and shooting. It is not a Steven Adams type lumbering around in the lane. Now, is rebounding important? Yes. But I will tell you that one of the most overrated stats in basketball that people look at is individual rebounding numbers.
Yeah.
Team rebounding is important, right? Yes. Individual stats saying I want some player X because they average 12 rebounds a game. It's the most overrated stat out there. Why do we love the players that we love? Like, what is the number one skill set for teams that make it deep into the playoffs? Like the top 25, the top 30 players in the NBA, what is the one thing they pretty much all have in common? It's creation. It's self-creation. Right. Why do we love Jaren for what he's done this year and dominating in the first quarter like he did? Now, it fell apart in the fourth, but self-creating, and he murdered Capella. What did he have, 17 points in the first quarter or something like that? Like, why do we love Josh so much? Why did we immediately fall in love with Scottie Pippen Jr.? Why did we love Lamar Stevens? These are all people who create. And the first thing I hear every time when people talk about our draft and talk about a starting center is, let's go get someone who can only score by the basket, that cannot catch, that cannot dribble, that cannot pass. Why do we have this discussion? What are we doing? We actively hate these players. When they play poorly, we get upset at them because they suck. But we want to get them on our team because we have to have a starting center. I do not get it. I don't understand. So hopefully that made all the way through. But
for the most part, yeah.
Okay. But I have zero interest in this summer being the priority of getting a starting caliber center. Zero interest. No.
Right. All right, so about now, that.
I'm fine with rebound.
God, your internet's so bad. All right, so let's talk about God, Mr. AOL. Okay, so let's talk about this. What Wayno's saying. Yeah. Beep beep. The proof's in the pudding in a second, in a sense. Like the best finishes, like the last 2 years, have been with Jaren at the four. So what would be your I guess retort to that? Because, you know, the team has played well and they've been very good when Jaren has been at the four. Obviously, they've stalled in the playoffs for a lot of reasons, but a lot of it has been injury related. So I know we can't go get Steve-O back. So that's obviously gone. But why wouldn't you go get somebody like Steve-O if you saw that it works?
Regular season is fine. Like, that's like, you have to be a rebounding team. That's part of the, that's why I asked for clarification on a starting caliber center.
Yeah.
Because I'm not against a big man. Like, it's right. Fine to get a big man, but I'm not going out there and spending whatever cap we have left over to go get someone who's specifically going to rebound. That doesn't really do anything else except rim run, right? So, yes, you can win a lot of games in the regular season by doing that. And that's fine. You've got to get good seeding in the regular season, right? To set yourself up for the playoffs. But what did you see year one against the Timberwolves? Steven Adams was unplayable against the Timberwolves. It did not change until they went with Xavier Tillman, who is smaller, but can dribble, can pass, and can shoot some. Like, he hit that little floater. Last year, there was problems. But even in that, Dylan Brooks was kind of like another Steven Adams in his absence, right? Like, he, in theory, could dribble and create, pass and shoot, but he sucked at it. I'm just saying, like, look at teams that make deep runs. Everybody can pass, or especially the bigs. The bigs can pass, they can handle, they can drive, or they can shoot. Like, they've got a combo of those. Yes. So the biggest, like, especially when we're talking the draft here in a second, whenever we get to it. Mm-hmm. Like, Victor Wembanyama, why is he such an awesome player besides being 7'6"? He can create his own three-point shot. Everything. Like, that is the rarest skill in the NBA, because most bigs who shoot threes, like Jaren Jackson Jr., for example, 95% of their threes are assisted. They're created by others. You have a 7'6" guy who can create unassisted 3-point shots. That is a huge, highly sought after skill in the NBA. And so I just don't think anymore, like, you can even talk about the Grizzlies back in the grit and grind era. Sure, Z-Bo played from the post, but he could dribble and he could do all the moves. Mark Gasol could shoot from the mid range and he could drive and pass. So this idea of getting some center because he is size and he rebounds a lot is great for the regular season. I'm all for that. That's fine. Yeah. But the reality is he's going to get played off the floor in the playoffs. We see it every year.
Okay. So, all right. So real quick.
Won a championship.
God, Mr. AOL. All right. So I thought you were done because you were froze. I thought you were just looking at me and you're still talking. You just are talking to nobody. All right. So last thing, this is the last question. We're not going to go any further. What guy would you bring in to fill that big man role? Because they obviously have to have some kind of big. So if I told you like Hartenstein or Drummond, you know, all under, you know, $10 million a year, would you be fine with that? Would that be ideal for you?
Yeah, it's fine. Like it's okay. As long as it's the understanding is that you're not probably playing very much in the playoffs. If you are, it's 10 to 15 spot minutes, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think that's realistic. That's where this team would be the best. And as everybody's saying, sorry, that broke me. King Meeks, man calling from jail.
It kind of is out here.
That broke me. I'm sorry. I was trying to read the last comment because D'Angelo had a great comment. Said we'll be closing with Jaren and BC still, because I think that is important, because BC can be that rebounder, that more athletic, you know, high flyer, you know, kind of the rim runner as well. But also somebody can kind of stay out of the way, can kind of be in that dunker spot to give room for Jaren, because Jaren looks like he's playing, you know, much bigger, especially within what he's doing now. And so we'll see that when Ja and, you know, the rest of the guys get back. Bane. All right, last thing, what you got?
So I see in the chat, I just looked over there and saw Chris made the comment about Jaren getting compared to AD a lot, and AD's only championship is him playing the four. Mm-hmm. Starting wise, technically, you can say that the starter was Dwight Howard. You go look at the game logs, the guy played 15 minutes a game. And most of the guys that played were Kyle Kuzma. I think Danny Green started for him. Rajon Rondo played big minutes. Like Dwight Howard, quote unquote, started, but the three guys off the bench were versatile wings. So you can say that stuff about a couple centers in the past couple. Like you can say it about Kevon Looney, right? But there was a time frame where Kevon Looney was surrounded by KD, Steph, and Clay. Yeah. Like, so a lot of these guys, if you look back, they have a quote unquote starting five, but go look at game logs. Most of them are 15 to 17 minutes and below. Most of it, you'll find a trend where it's all wings. It's all bigger wings.
I like it. All right. And I think it was JaVale McGee. I think that's what Goon's saying. JaVale McGee was there.
Maybe it's McGee. I thought it was Dwight Howard that started, but.
Man, who knows? Who cares? All right, let's get past that. We went way over our time just in general on that topic. I was bringing you here to talk draft. We're going to talk draft. You're pushing me over my limit. It's ridiculous. But I have questions loaded up in here, and I'm going to get to them. But just one second. Let's go ahead and hear from one of our shows. We'll be right back after this.
What do you think is more of a priority for this team? Because you're starting to hear a lot of rumors coming out about teams that are willing to make trades. I'm a big wing guy. This is Memphis. We barbecue and wings. So I also understand the importance of big men. The best players in the league are all bigs.
If you're making a player in a lab, absolutely you want to build a Paul George player. You want to build the big wing, you know, Kevin Durant, whatever. Like
G.G. Jackson.
Yeah, or Gigi Jackson, which actually I was thinking about. Oh, what about Gigi, Anthony? But unfortunately, those guys aren't out there. And like, even when you start naming specific names of guys you want to get, like the quality drop off goes down quick. I do think the Grizzlies' easiest avenue to immediately improving next year and getting on the cusp of like being, you know, like a Western Conference finalist, or maybe if you get all the great breaks going your way, is improving your center spot, just because but there's just more of those guys I feel like available to help you out.
Tune in to the Anthony Sane Show Wednesdays and Fridays at 12 p.m. weekly on the Bluff City Media YouTube channel.
All right, one reason to not have kids, Ryan. They steal all your stuff on your desk. I don't know where anything is anymore. Somehow they've gotten in here and stolen everything, and I can't find any of my ad reads at all. And so I apologize. I was in here just kind of feverishly looking for these for the last minute. And so I do apologize. But we do know our sponsors, and the Grizz trivia sponsor is Pews. From flower shops to commercial landscape maintenance, Pews has been around for 30 plus years servicing the Mid-South. Did you know that Pews also does residential lawn care? Pews Residential Spray can take care of all of your weed control and fertilization needs. If you want to create that perfect weed-free lawn, then go ahead and call Pews Residential Spray today. You can get a free estimate right over the phone, 901-633-2118, and let them know the Grizz 901 crew sent you. Remember, with Pews, you get that big company strength, small company value. As you all know, that the chat section, the comment section, is sponsored by Streetcars of Memphis. If you need any kind of oil change, maintenance, customizations, needs, go ahead and hit them up. They'll be more than happy to take care of you. The $55 regular oil change is still available, as well as the $65 full synthetic. You can go and call them at 901-323-3332, or you can go online at 901scm.com. Any maintenance, lights, speakers, lifts, wheels, they can modify them all. All right, let's go ahead and get into my favorite segment, and that is Grizz Trivia. All right, Ryan, this is a very big question for you. You're now on the clock. Let's see if you cannot screw this up. But the Grizzlies tonight have another clutch game. And so the Grizzlies are second in the league with how many clutch games played in the year of 2024. Only the Chicago Bulls, who are at 19, I haven't looked tonight, they're at 19. They have more clutch games than the Grizzlies to start the 2024 calendar year. The Grizzlies have added one to their number, but they are in second place. What it is with a clutch game is defined as games where the margin is within 5 points with 5 minutes or fewer remaining in the fourth quarter or overtime. So, Ryan, if I had to ask you, how many clutch games in the year 2024 have the Grizzlies played?
So I remember this being said during the broadcast. And I thought, oh, maybe I should make a mental note of that. And I completely forgot. So you said the Bulls were 19?
The Bulls are at 19, and they're in first place for sure.
I would say the Grizz are 17.
You are very, very close. The Grizzlies are at 18 because that includes tonight, because they cut it within five with under five remaining. And so they are now at 18. And the reason I wanted to share that is for the simple fact that the Grizzlies, even though we have sucked, even though that we played terrible at home, even though that this season is a wash, it's a gap year, it has been miserable, these dudes are still playing their tails off, and they're still playing very well. And so I want to give them a shout out, because I do think it's important to kind of talk about the good things for sure. But all right, let's go ahead and get into the draft talk. And I know we already have some questions, so let's start with those because they actually might get into some of your questions that you actually have. So, all right. So the Black Ninja DJ wants to know, other than Sar, who would you view as a fit if we were to draft someone? He throws out Kinect, Klingon, Filipowski. I don't know the other name. It's
Rissachar.
Rissachar.
Yeah.
I don't know. This guy. What's his name?
Rissachar. Rissachar, I think is Zacchaeus, how you say
it. I don't know.
Klingon, no. Filipowski, no. My favorite guy for the Grizzlies right now is someone who's on the G League Ignite, and it's Tyler Smith. He is 6'10", 6'11", sweet shooting lefty, and he's shooting like 36% from three on like a real volume 5 to 6 shots per game, which is a lot of stuff you want to see. Like, if you like the draft and you want to look into that more, don't just look at percentage, look at volume, because volume is really a better improve. If you've got a guy like come in, shoots 37% from three, what takes half per game, that's not a guy that I'm really interested in. I like a guy who's 34, 35% shooting 6 or 7 a game. That's what I kind of prefer to look for. So Tyler Smith is my, right now, my number one. And with the draft, like, things change all the time. But right now, I really like Tyler Smith as a fit with the Memphis Grizzlies.
Well, I'm glad you reiterated that, because in the middle, all I heard was... all right. So Tyler Smith. So what about Tyler Smith? Is he projected to go high, or is he just a diamond in the rough type guy that only you actually, I guess, know about?
He's currently, I think, the last 18th. This is a guy who's going to rise in the draft and end up being lottery by the end of it, just because of his skill set. Being 6'11", a really good three-point shooter, and he's athletic. So I really like Tyler Smith a lot, and so I'm kind of hoping he stays off the radar, but I have a feeling when draft stuff heats up, you're going to see him as a big riser.
So where would he be at right now?
He's at 18 right now, projected.
Okay. Well, I don't know what's better, his draft stock or you calling from the basement in Mars. Hey, what's your thoughts on Luke Kennard? Do you like Luke Kennard on this team for the future?
And he's fine for what he is, not at $14 million. But he's a skill set that you need. So I'm fine with him on the team. I'm just not going to sign him to a lavish contract.
Yeah. All right. All right. Let's keep going before we lose you. You never know. I will say that the pro comparison for Tyler Smith is Channing Frye, which, listen, Channing Frye wasn't bad, but I don't know if that's the right comp.
It's a bad comparison, but
yeah. bad comp. All right, so thank you for that. I think that was Black Ninja DJ. So King Mix wants to know, how do you feel about the guy from Purdue?
Edie?
Zach Edie?
Yeah. You know, I have to give Edie props. He has gotten better. And ironically, to his size, I don't think he's really ever been injured. I mean, he's one of those second round guys. If you just want to take him to take him, it's fine. But this, it's not a guy that I really see cracking an NBA rotation, if that answers your question.
No, that's great. This is from the Black Ninja GJ as well. That guy that I can't say his name, the fluidity in the feel for the game, you know, is what he likes, but, athleticism potential, it's all very good for a two-way guy. Do you see him being like a true, honestly, a top five draft pick and actually being a guy who plays in the league for a while?
I don't know if he'll go top five. I think he is projected that right now. There just might not be better options, but there's always a guy, you know, in the draft where he just kind of shoots up the board late, right? Whether that's a March Madness run, like we're seeing with Dillingham. But I think he'll be, it's just so hard to project that right now, right? But I agree. The things that I look for is the versatility, someone that can handle. I don't want a guy who's just going to stand in the corner and, hey, he plays defense. I'm not interested in that. Like, I know some people like Virginia's Ryan Dunn. That guy has no offensive game. Well, okay, I shouldn't say none, but he's all about defense. And they're like, oh, he's Matisse Thybulle. It's like, okay, I'm going to draft Matisse Thybulle, who's on his fifth team or whatever, and probably out of the league soon with my 6 or 7 pick. Like, that's just not what I'm going for. Yeah. I like him. I can't wait to do more on him because I haven't done a ton, but I've liked what I've seen so far.
All right. These should be quick ones. Ryan, favorite center in the draft so far from Chris?
None of them. I don't look, they're okay. I'm a guy who doesn't get the clinging type, the hype. I don't really get it. Maybe you can help me with that. Like, he looks clunky to me. He's always bringing the ball low and he's getting stripped. Like, he's soft. Yeah. He gets pushed off the ball an awful lot. Like, if you watched Marquette and UConn the other day, I was more impressed with Igodaro going at him than I was with anything Klingon did. Now, I get he's a big body, but I just, I haven't loved anything I've seen from him. And he's just a guy who does the handoffs, you know, at the wing and rolls. I'm not overly interested in a player that only does that, right?
No.
So if you're going to say, if I had to pick a center, I think I would probably say Klingon, but I don't love any of them. None of them are anywhere near my priority list.
Would, if you had a top 10 pick, would you draft a center in that position? Okay, no. So would
I'll
you...
I'll come on this show live and vomit if we draft a center with a top 10 pick.
All right. Right.
Write that down. Did you hear that one?
Go to vomit. All right. Got that one down. Hold him to it, please. All right. So real quick, one of the main guys you haven't talked about is Filipowski. He's a center, obviously, for Duke. Yeah. And he has been obviously a top player and a top 10 draft pick, speculate, obviously in the mocks. Thoughts on him, because he does have more of the stretch big type.
Yeah. So that's why he gets a little bit of a look from me, because he has shown that he can shoot a little bit and he does drive some. And he has shown that he can pass out of double teams when they show him at Duke. The problem is, it's just physical, like athletic wise, right? I just don't see a scenario where he's guarding anybody in space. That's the problem that holds him back. I think somebody's going to draft him. He's probably going to end up being a backup at best, which for the Grizzlies, you could do worse, I guess. But I just don't see him as a big physical. I think that's why I don't want him for the Grizzlies, is because I don't see him as that backup physical big that's going to be a guy and go get those boards. You know, like kind of we were talking about before, and the type of player we're looking for. But he does have an intriguing kind of offensive skill set.
Yeah. All right. So on thoughts on Edie again, this came from King Meeks. Do you think he does, like, he has new projections that's putting him into the first round. Do you think that is real, or is that smoke?
I would doubt that it's real. Because you're talking about, I think Filipowski is also projected first Klingon. So you're talking about three centers in the first round. I mean, you'd have to be a pretty desperate team when teams are moving away from traditional centers like that. I would be surprised if he went first round. If he does go first round, it's because he interchanged with someone. That's probably also a center. But I would expect second round for him.
Okay. All right. I have three more lined up right now. If you have more, go ahead and get them in now, because I don't want to be here all night. Plus, I want to give you stuff to kind of speak freely on that you might want to bring up yourself. But the Black Union DJ, great questions for sure. But second round guys, Keyshawn George, Hunter Salas. Sorry, one screen has it bigger than the other for me. And then PJ Hall. Any opinions on those guys?
Just to make sure we're talking about the same guy, Keyshawn George is the guy from Louisiana Tech, right? And I'll move on till he responds to make sure I'm talking about the same guy.
That's you're asking me. I'm like, Google.
Keyshawn George. To Black Ninja DJ, if that's the guy he's talking about. I want to say that before I start talking about someone completely different. But Hunter Salas is interesting. Like, he started with Gonzaga. And he kind of got his chance with Wake Forest now. And he's putting up a lot of shots. And he's scoring a decent number. Miami. No, I don't know Keyshawn.
Keyshawn George.
I don't know that one. No, I don't remember George being on their team.
Stumped him. All right. In the show.
That's someone I got to look at then. No, but to Hunter Salas is... Is Hunter Salas, is it because of now he's getting the volume? Because at Gonzaga, he looked like he just wasn't a great, he was okay, but he wasn't a great role player, right? In that situation. Now he got the opportunity with Wake Forest, and he's putting up a lot of shots. So usually I kind of caution about those kind of guys, because in the NBA, you're not going to get 24 field goal attempts, especially for someone in the second round. So I think the question that's going to happen with Hunter Salas is going to be about his size. And do you believe in the efficiency of what he did at Wake Forest? And usually that hurts those guys. PJ Hall is another guy that's not as pedigreed as the dude from Duke that we were just talking about.
Filipowski.
But the same kind of skill set, right? Like, he's shown he can shoot some threes. He's a bigger guy. It's the same concern with him that I have with Filipowski, is just the physical of it. Now, he tried the combine last year, and he played in the scrimmages that they had, and he was all right. Someone will probably use a second round pick on him, but it's the same kind of questions that you have with Filipowski. And I don't know if it's because of name brand with Duke that they like Filipowski better. But I would say it's more of an athletic limitation with PJ Hall. But I think he'll be in the draft combine again and see if his game has actually grown a little bit from what it was last year. Because there was, he looked kind of awkward last year. So
yeah. You liked Hunter Salas last year, right?
Not Hunter Salas, no.
No, somebody else. I thought somebody that you liked that went back into the draft. I don't know. Alan's just getting here. It looks like he wants to talk about Reed Sheppard, but we're gonna not skip in line. No skipping. We're gonna go to Khalil Ware for Chris.
Khalil Ware has all the talent, right? But I just cannot get past the Christian Wood feel to me. Indiana sucks. Now, is that his fault? Probably not. But he gets lost on defense a lot, but he is a big guy. But what I haven't seen from his is shooting, which that may be because Indiana's not letting him. So college is weird because some coaches just don't allow guys to do that. I thought Khalil had that skill set at Oregon. But I can't remember now. I thought he was a guy who could shoot and do everything, but I'm not in love with his game. I think someone's going to take him because of the talent, if he comes out, actually. Because someone's always going to try on a 7'1" guy. I just don't see the projection of versatility that, you know, I would like to look for in someone like that.
Yeah. Our guy, one, Chris, is back on Khalil Ware for sure, but I don't think he's ever left the island. But one guy who is left the island and now back on the island is our guy, our draft expert. I am drawing a blank right now. Rafael Barlow is back on. I think he actually put on Twitter tonight, he's back on the Khalil Ware train. And so whatever that means, whatever. Going back to the Kyshawn George, I think it's got to be Kyshawn. Maybe it could be Keyshawn. Either way.
Okay.
That's how you spell his name. 6'8" shooting guard out of Miami. You know, he's a freshman there. But from what I was looking on here, he looks solid. People like him, but I don't know if he's even going to come out of the draft potentially.
I remember from Miami is like Wuga Poplar and Omir is their undersized center. And I think they still have Nigel Pack. But I hadn't heard of or recognized him, but I haven't watched a lot of Miami, so I'll be interested to look at him. So yeah, thanks for the suggestion.
Will tonight. All right. Black Nation DJs all over this draft, dude. I know how to say his last name. Buzelis. I don't know how to say his first name. Matas Buzelis. Do you like him? He should be in the top 10, right?
Yeah. I mean, at one point I think he was number one going into the year, and then I think he kind of had a slow start. Yeah, I think he had a rough patch with the G League. Look, the G League and night team stinks, like they just do. But he was kind of the big name that signed there. And so he's actually playing over the guy that I really like in Tyler Smith. The interesting thing is like Tyler Smith, I'll bring it back to my guy. Maybe I have good connection now, so I'll get through. But Tyler Smith plays 8 minutes less, I believe, less than Matas. Matas, but averages the same amount of points and is a better three-point shooter on volume. So that's why I like him. But there is real hype to Bezelis. Like, he's a fine player. I think the question mark with him was going to be, obviously he has to build strength, right? And all of these guys who are young do. I think there was question marks more about his defense, and is he just going to be a guy who just sits there and takes set shots, or is he going to actually have, you know, some playmaking ability? But he's the de facto starter right now. I just like the backup better.
Well, listen, I'm on record saying this, and this might sound like a very racial thing. I'm probably not going to draft a white guy in the top 10. I'm just telling you, I look around the league and I see what I see. I'm just being honest. And that is not, I don't know how you're going to take it. If you are, maybe you might be upset, but that's just me. I don't feel comfortable because I don't think the best players aren't, and maybe he is, you know, from Lithuania, whatever. But I'm just, that's just not me. If I have a chance to take Paolo, I'm taking Paolo over Chet. And it worked. I just wouldn't take a Jabari. I probably would have passed on Jabari. But yeah. All right. So Chris is offended. I apologize, Chris. I'm just saying, that's just me. I just see the game and I see a different style of athlete and a different style of player. And I don't know. Anyway. And most of the time, they are going to be European. And I think that, you know, that's fine, but only so many Dirks or Lukas come around that often. Yeah. Even Kristaps Porzingis is fine, but he's never going to win. He's never going to take it to the next level. Let's go. Thank you for agreeing with me, everybody. Let's go around to the last one. And speaking of our white guy, Reed Sheppard, let's bring him in here. Alan wants to talk about Reed Sheppard. Your thoughts?
Reed Sheppard's a good player. He falls into the category of the 6'4 and under. He's short. Like he's short. Like he's like maybe 6 foot. I think he's listed at 6'2. That's generous. He's probably 6'1. Actually, 6'2 is not really that generous. So I'm not sure what he's listed at Kentucky to say all that, but I'm pretty sure he's 6'1. And so I think this kind of goes back to, you know, what Chris was saying earlier about taking a guy in the second round that's a backup point guard. Reed Sheppard's not going to be there at the second round. Like, he's just not going to be. I always caution with taking someone that's shorter like that, who, like, he's shooting like 50% from three this year at Kentucky. And I always have the thing, you know, you take a Kentucky player because they're always going to be better in the NBA. Like, that was the same with Kasan Wallace last year, right? Yes. But Reed is just almost too small for me, and he's awful defensively. So he's a personal pass, but I think he'll be a good player for somebody. He's just going to need a lot of leeway, and they'll probably be a bad team.
So on a guy like this, for example, and I hope that you agree with me, but a guy like Reed Sheppard, you're probably like, he's like a pass for you. You know, he's a good player, fine, in the lottery maybe, but you're talking about picks 20 to 40. Like your alarm bells would go off and say, I'd grab him there. Like, is it just because of position in the draft, or is it you just don't like him because he wouldn't be a good player in the NBA overall?
I think he'll be okay in the NBA, but it's a very specific role, right?
Okay.
And yeah, draft position's a big thing. If he was there at 40, all right. Sure.
Twisted my arm.
Sure. He's just not a guy that I'm interested in the lottery at all. And honestly, personally for me, I'm not interested in him at his size at all. And if I want to say another hot take, I don't get the Rob Dillingham hype.
Woo.
I don't. Okay. He is. No one's asked the question, but I'll bring it up anyways, because why not? He is a self-creator. He's quick. Like, he's awesome. I'll give him that. He is an offensive scoring. Like, he's amazing. The stuff that he can create with his speed. He's too small. Like, when was the last time you saw a guy this small have the freedom to do whatever offensively like that? Like, maybe Isaiah Thomas, right? Yeah. And like, Isaiah Thomas had nice runs, but eventually what happened to him? So he just has kind of like a weird shot selection that I don't love, but he can get microwave nuclear hot at the flip of a switch. Like, him and Reed are super fun together, and they're a great watch when Calipari doesn't screw him up and keeps bringing him off the bench like he does for some reason, because he's Calipari. Yeah. But yeah, so that's my Dillingham takes.
All right. So, let me, I guess, reveal some of your draft stuff that I've actually grown to like, I guess, over the years, and kind of just listening a little bit. My favorite thing that I get from you is the hype without shoes. Why is that a big one for you?
Because a lot of people can add 2 inches when they put on their shoes. Like, they just add it. Yeah. So I think the perfect one with David Roddy is David Roddy was listed at 6'6", right?
Yep.
His height with no shoes measurement was like 6'4". So heights with no shoes is... like, that's their real height.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're not faking that. So I like looking at that. Like, I have a list that I look at immediately. Now, the unfortunate thing is, in the spot that we're going to draft, probably nobody's going to do people are doing the combine measurements less and less.
Yeah, but, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's one of my favorite ones. Shout out to you, Wayno. Just got in trouble for watching the show during his 8-year-old's birthday. It is Wayno, as everybody knows, is on the other side of the world. So your priorities are perfect. Tell your 8-year-old happy birthday from all of us.
With me cutting in and out, he probably had enough breaks to actually join in on the party. So you're actually welcome.
We'll have to go back. Wayno was talking about coming live from the FedEx Forum Janders room. And Black Ninja DJ had one that said Ryan sounded like he's extra in Pluto Nash. So shout out to you. All right. Anything else you got? So we've been here for a while. He wants us to tell his wife that. If we can just take it easy on. Anything else that you have that in general draft got just a draft stuff that you're looking for? Just in general, before I get your final take on who you would take if you had a choice.
Yeah. So, I mean, the common sentiment is that it's a weak draft, right? Now, everybody, when we get close to it, everybody's going to start throwing their guy in there that, oh, this is a steal, this is going to be great, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So all the mock drafts and everything is really a big groupthink. Nobody wants to look stupid, right? Mm. And so if you see someone rise that you're watching, and you know, if they're in projections at 35 or whatever for you, and you think, and they put them at like 12 or 10, like, just go with your gut on that guy. If you don't like him, you don't like him. If you're not seeing anything, so don't be fooled by all the risers a la Rob Dillingham that's happening right now, because it fluctuates like that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sorry. I'm having to censor this cat taking a bath in the back. As King Meek saying, it's worse than watching Pootie Tang. So we're trying to cover it up back here. I've always heard that with you, it's the groupthink stuff. And it really is like, you see the same thing over and over again, but also like, it is, they don't want to look like an idiot, because they don't want somebody to be drafted completely out of this world. And they're like, why did you miss this? How'd you miss this? And I think that's important. As Black Ninja DJ is saying, it's a weak draft. Yes. But don't really want anyone other than Sar if we get a top two. Is there anybody else that you would want? Or if you had a top two pick, what would you go get? Would you go get Sar or somebody else?
Yeah, I think Sar would be the ideal, right? I haven't watched a ton of him yet. I kind of wait on Euro guys for their season to end. Sorry, I just saw the same comment you did. Everybody send in your $1.99.
That's the second time I broke tonight. It's both a King Meek stuff. I looked at it. I tried to hide behind the mic. King Meek saying my cat's working for Pornhub, okay? She's completely cleaned herself. My God. Like, get out of the picture at least. Like, let me throw something. Hey.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. Maybe she'll get some. All right. So, Sar, do you like Sar? Like,
yeah, I like Sar. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Last thing, we'll get out of here. Sorry, everybody. Nate is actually moving first thing in the morning. He was talking about possibly coming on the show, and I was like, bro, no, it's not worth it. You were coming on, and I was confident in your internet that you would get through this, and we have gotten through this, thankfully. But now that we've somehow squashed the cat, and maybe she's going to make some money for us. So, all right. So the Grizzlies do get the sixth overall pick. Is there someone you're hoping falls to you at the sixth? Like, is it move up to go get a guy like Tyler Smith, or not move up? Is to get a wait for a guy like Tyler Smith right there in the 6 to 8 area?
Yeah, I mean, that's my priority right now, but it's fluid. It changes.
Correct. So.
Yeah, I'm not going up to get anybody in the history of the draft. That rarely happens. Like the Luka Doncic, Trae Young thing, that's an outlier. That rarely happens in the NBA. People just do not trade those picks typically. So I know people have talked about the Grizzlies trading out of 6 or 7. Is it always a possibility? Yes, but it's highly unlikely.
Would you do it?
Would I trade out? No.
Yeah.
I'm just taking a player I like.
Any chance that if you're high enough or you get an offer on the table for a guy like Mikal Bridges, who everybody loves, think would be a good fit here, would you pull the trigger on moving out of anywhere? What position wouldn't you pull the trigger on? Would it be only the first position?
Mikal Bridges?
Yeah.
In this draft, yeah, maybe number one. That's about it.
Okay, so you'd go get Sar for sure.
Probably, at this point, probably. But I, like, to be honest with you, I haven't done a deep dive on him.
Correct,
but from what I've seen so far, he's intriguing, right? Like, he's he can do it, create everything for you, kind of like Jaren does. I guess I wouldn't be opposed to trading number one for Mikal, because no one's a slam dunk. And Mikhail's a sure thing. So
you're,
he's a guy that
you're
play,
all in.
He'll play 82 games a year.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, I thought you were all in on Mikal Bridges as well. I think he is great for this team in general. I think he's great for any team, but he can't be the number one option. I don't even know if he can be the number two, but he could maybe be the 2B potentially, depending on how, if you want to go right one night or go left. You also have, him and Bane would be great, but also he's good defensively and he shows up to work. And I said this to Nate the other day, I believe. I was like, dude, he literally plays every single game. He goes, great. So cool. He loses every single game. I'm like, there's no winning with that guy. All right. So yes, Nate was not here tonight. And as Wayno said very early in the show, Nate is moving in with Jake, and that's why he's not here today. He's just saying. But shout out to Nate, for missing, because they are moving, made a big decision to move and go get something bigger, something better, because he does have his kid on the way. And so, hey, those are big decisions that a lot of people don't realize are big decisions or forget that are big decisions, especially like you have like 12 kids, I believe. And, so like, those are decisions you make. You move out to the boonies because you have so many kids. And so I get it.
Now, my question for Nate is he going to bring the wreath? Is that still going to be part of the his look on the show?
He better. He should, at least. All right. Final thoughts on the draft, just overall. Anything else that you want to hit on? And also, I got a Dalton Connect. Thumbs up, thumbs down?
I'm a thumbs down on Connect. At least right now.
All right. You sound like one of my wrestling shows. Like, I think it could happen potentially. It's not a sure thing.
Well, I don't want to take too much time talking about Connect, but
yes, thank you. Thank you. All right. So this is definitely going to be our last show or my last show for a little bit. Just kind of give you a heads up. This is very much behind the curtain. I am about to go on vacation. And so we are not doing a show on Sunday for the Thunder game or the next Saturday Thunder game, unless the Grizzlies pull out a win. If the Grizzlies go ahead and win either one of those games, I won't say 100%, 99.9%, if available, because I don't know the times and what I have going on in life, but I will try my hardest to get on here and actually do a show. So if for some reason they do win, we'll have a show on the weekends, but I'm not going to guarantee it. But if they lose 100%, I'm not doing that. I can give you the 100% on that one. But then the middle of the week, on the 12th, we do have another show that Nate will be hosting himself. And then he'll have Kenny on that show on Tuesday. That's going to be the Tyus Jones return. And then the 13th, right now, I'm not sure who he's brought in. He hasn't told me who he's bringing in for the back-to-back game, which is the Wednesday against the Charlotte Hornets. That game's going to be terrible. But it is another Grizzlies home game, and they don't win. It's against the Hornets, and they don't win either. And so that's going to be interesting. So back-to-back nights, the first night will be Kenny on Tuesday. Second night is Wednesday. I'm not sure who he's bringing on. And then after that, we're not going to have a show on that Sunday, like I said, but then we'll be back to normal stuff after St. Patrick's Day at some point. So I will not be back here until the 18th is my first game back. So I'm missing pretty much all of next week unless they win against the Thunder. But all right, that's it. That's all the housekeeping I really had. I just wanted to share that with everybody. So if anybody had any questions or maybe where I was or what was going on, that's where I will be. And so the last thing I do want to give is a shout out to our last sponsor, and that is Heaven's Healthy Kitchen. It's a grassroots business that was started right here in Memphis. Chef Smith is a Memphian that promotes healthy eating and wellness. If you're looking to cook at home, which you have to because there are no restaurants out where you live, Chef Smith's cookbook would be good for you. Go ahead and get it on Amazon, download it today. Heaven's Healthy Kitchen continues to do monthly pop-ups, so stay tuned for the next one. I'm not exactly sure when it is, but once I do find out, I'll let you know. But go ahead and check out Heaven's Healthy Kitchen at orderhhk.com, serving and catering plant-based and vegan gourmet foods straight to you. Ryan, it's been a blast to have you on.
It's been a journey.
It's been a long time. Yeah. I don't think we've been together doing a show for a long time, especially look at this hour and a half popping up. Ridiculous.
You're welcome.
Last thing, King Meeks, shout out to you. Shout out to everybody else. Me and the cat, we're going touring. All right. That's it. All right. I got to go to bed. Listen, I worked hard today, even though I was off work. I worked hard. Go check out my show. Forgot to mention it. I hosted Driving the Line again. I hosted this time. It was amazing. And so I felt like I did a decent job at it finally. But it was a good show. We had a good time. So Driving the Line, just go check it out if you like sports betting at all. But that's it. We've had a good time. Tigers play a big game tomorrow against FAU. Ryan, we gonna have a winner or a loser?
I'm not gonna say anything.
Wow. All right. 6.5. Would you take that?
For FAU?
No. Well, either.
Who's getting the 6.5?
Minus 6.5 FAU at home.
I'd probably take the dog. Yeah. I'll take the dog.
Yes. So you're telling me there's a chance. All right. That's it. All right, Ryan, thank you for joining me as always. We're going to get out of here. Be nice and tell your friends.